morning to all of you here on this glorious day during the feast. It's so good to be here and so good to see the fellowship going on from day to day and night to night. We had quite a nice gathering at our place last night, as I hear there were at others as well. And to see people connecting as friends and family, it's a great thing to be able to watch and participate in. We got a feast present from our daughter after we arrived, and she called us and happened that her grandparents were there too. They're staying with us in the same unit. And so our daughter said, "Would you like your feast present?" And of course, my wife said, "Sure." And she told us for the first time that she's expecting. And it was quite a nice feast present. We all rejoice in that very much because our family is growing. And God's family is growing too. And I'd like to speak about that today, because we're here to be showing forth the fruits of His labors in our lives and in the looking forward to the growth of His family in the future. Our God is an awesome God. He is the God who has done and continues to do great miracles. Each of us experience those in our lives, perhaps on a daily basis in some cases, but certainly numerous times during the years, we witness in our own lives the miracles of God. Have you ever considered, as you read through the pages of the Bible, and you see the recorded miracles that are there, which miracle recorded in the Bible is the greatest one? Which miracle required the greatest magnitude of the power of God? I did a survey a few years ago. I sent a question out among the elders of the church and asked a question that I just asked you, which is the greatest miracle? And it was surprising the number of answers that came back. Some said the greatest miracle in the Bible is the creation of the universe, including the creation of the earth, creation of mankind. Some said the parting of the Red Sea, which of course is an awesome miracle and is referred to many times in the Bible. One man mentioned that in his opinion, Joshua's long day was by far the greatest miracle that is recorded, requiring a great magnitude of power from God. Another answer was the healing of a man who had been blind from birth. And of course, all of these are great and wonderful miracles of God. But if we were to ask the question and try to answer it from Scripture, which is the greatest miracle? And there is an answer. And the answer is given in a prayer that includes you and me, and a prayer that is very informative to us of what is going on in the plan of God. I'd like you to please not open your Bibles yet. I want to read part of this prayer, and when I finish the first part, I'll ask you to open to it so that you can read along with me the rest of it. I'm doing this so that you will, first of all, have the answer to the question, and then we will analyze its importance in our lives. But there's a prayer, then I'll read part of it. As I break into the thought here, and speaking of God the Father. And the prayer says, among other things, that we should be informed of what is the exceeding greatness of His power. The exceeding greatness. Nowhere else in the Bible is that phrase used when it speaks of God and His work. And here we are informed that there is a particular miracle in which the exceeding greatness of His power was used, according to the working of His mighty power, which He worked in Christ, when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at his right hand in the heavenly places. To me, that is the answer of which is the greatest miracle recorded in the Bible. And let's analyze that just briefly, because Jesus Christ, as Scripture tells us, was the creator of all that is and all that was created. And Jesus came and dwelt among us. He was flesh and blood as we are. And He died for our sins. And then, for the first time in the recorded pages of the Bible, we see the Father stepping in and imparting life. Of course, Christ tells us that his power of creations were through the Father, but now we are seeing the Father directly stepping into the picture and imparting life to his Son who was dead. And this was not just physical life. This was eternal life, glorified eternal life. As Christ was raised from the dead, as we continue, it says, and raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age which is to come. And so that describes to us and gives us a little bit of an insight into this greatest miracle. And now if you would turn, and we'll read that prayer together in Ephesians chapter 1, and we'll see how it connects with our lives and with the plan of bringing many sons and many daughters to glory into the kingdom of God, which we are here to celebrate and to look forward to. In Ephesians 1, and would you please, as you read this, apply it to yourself? Apply it in a sense of wonderment as you see what it is God is doing and the power with which he does it in your life and in mine. Ephesians 1, verse 15. Therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. And here is the prayer that Paul prayed, that the God of our Father, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. It's like we are looking through a small window that's fogged over. And if we can brush the fog away and look out through that small window, we begin to see a wondrous vista, a vista of glory and grandeur and love and compassion and mercy, and a vista of a family forming and growing, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, that we may look forward to that hope of the kingdom that lies before us. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, that kingdom of God? And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe? This power I described earlier is directed toward us who believe. The same power with which God raised Christ from the dead is in our lives, working in our lives to bring us into his family as well. The exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, and he puts it in that context for us. That power which he used is now being used for us. That's an amazing thought. It opens up so many ideas. It opens up so many windows of understanding and deeper understanding of what God is doing. And it tells us, brethren, that no matter what trials we are going through, no matter what difficulties are in our lives, no matter how difficult our situations might be in our families or with health or with money or with whatever persecution there may be, we have the power of God our Father working in our lives, helping us to become his sons and his daughters. It's a wondrous thing. And it's there in that little prayer. And if we can just wipe that window, perhaps it's a little window on a door, and we can look out and we can see what it is God is opening to our understanding. and open that door and walk out into that vista and be part of it. As we look forward to our entrance into his family and into his kingdom, that is what we are here to celebrate and to learn and to share, not only with ourselves, but with others. For this same power that he works in our lives individually is the same power that he uses for the church to take this message to the world and to tell other people and to expand that knowledge and that vista as his family grows, as his family develops. This truth is so awesome that we can scarcely comprehend it. But God wants us in his kingdom, in his family. And his work is to bring many sons to glory. What miracles will it take for you to be in his family? What miracles do you need now in your life and in the future? Well, the power behind those miracles is the power of our Holy Father.